Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy. As always, delighted to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today, Rindau, listening in Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Rindau.
Yeah, hi, Hank. Hyper Grace Movement with Andrew Farley, Joseph Prince. Are you familiar with that teaching?
Yeah, I am. In fact, we deal with Joseph Prince, and many of the things that he teaches are similar to what is being taught by Andrew Farley. Of course, Joseph Prince is steeped in Word of Faith theology, the idea that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can, well, they can get anything they want, a palace like the Taj Mahal, a Rolls Royce in their driveway, again, because it is faith in their own faith rather than faith in their God. But both Farley and Joseph Prince have in common antinomianism, or against law. Now, Prince is sort of a sophisticated way of backing his way out of that charge, but he does so because he doesn't realize that there are at least three uses of the law. But I think more to the point, both Farley and Prince are teaching this notion that once you are forgiven, you never again have to confess your sin, which, of course, is decidedly against what the Scriptures are teaching to us. 1 John 1 makes it very clear that we are to confess our sins. James does the exact same thing, and he denotes a continuing action. Same thing, of course, is incumbent in praying the Lord's Prayer. It is an indication that we are to daily confess our sins. Now, confession of sins keeps your communion with God. Unconfessed sins ultimately don't break your union with God, but they do break communion with God, and therefore we're urged by the biblical writers to daily confess our sins. Now, it is true that what Prince and Farley do is they make it look as though they're appealing to biblical text, but what they do is they read a text and then take it out of context to support their own pretext.
Right, right. They actually, I went on Andrew Farley's website, and he has some videos on there that I watched, and there was all kinds of red flags, but they didn't really argue the point about confession as much as repentance. They said that they don't have to repent anymore because God has forgiven them for all of their sins, past, present, and future, which is true. However, I mean, don't we still have to repent from things? I mean, there's all kinds of scriptures in the New Testament about repenting. They say after the resurrection, all the teachings of Jesus doesn't count because that was the old covenant, and all kinds of red flags. But what do you think about that?
Well, it's the exact same point. Yes, we are called ultimately to recognize that we're sinners, to repent of our sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Those are the entrance requirements into the kingdom. But we have a sin nature, and therefore, when we sin, we must repent of our sins, very much like David modeled in Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquities, cleanse me from my sin. Also, this notion that the Lord's Prayer is under the Old Covenant and therefore isn't applicable to us today is simply nonsense. It is a failure to recognize that the covenants are the same covenants. One is qualitatively different in that Jesus has now come and he is the substance that fulfills the shadow. But it's not as though they're altogether different covenants. The one thing we know by being students of the Bible is God has only had one covenant community, one chosen people, beautifully connected by a cross and illustrated by Paul as a cultivated olive tree. Back to the phone lines, Nicole, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I am fairly new to my faith, and, well, I grew up in church, but I'm 30 years old now, and I'm getting back really, really connected with God, and the women that are helping me through the process are apostolic, and they're kind of always talking to me about the Holy Spirit and how you need to get the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. And the only way you know you have it is by evidence of speaking in tongues. And then I asked my grandmother, and she said, no, you already have it working with you, in you. And so I'm just so confused about that.
Well, grandmother always knows best, Nicole. She's absolutely right. I mean, when you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. In fact, you have come into intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not, of course, an it, as though it were a power source, but a personal being. And the Holy Spirit as such has come into your life, and you have intimacy with the God who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So all believers, according to Scripture, are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. In terms of empowering of the Holy Spirit, this is something that happens on a day-by-day basis. We might even say on a moment-by-moment basis. When I walked into the studio today, I prayed, Lord, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. In other words, I wanted the Holy Spirit to empower me for service. And that's typically what is called infilling of the Holy Spirit, is empowering for service. Now, Pentecostals and people in the apostolic movement will tell you that tongues is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you this, on the basis of Scripture, you might argue that it is a evidence, but you can't argue that it is the evidence. In fact, if you go to the book of Acts, you know, Jesus in his last words in the book of Acts, he tells his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water. But in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus says to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, notice this, that already they were followers of Jesus Christ, and therefore they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says, but now you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. In other words, they're going to be infilled or empowered for service, and then you will, what is the evidence? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the evidence of the empowering or the infilling of the Spirit was they were witnesses for Jesus Christ. So while some might argue that tongues is a evidence, again, I don't think you can argue that it is the evidence, because being a witness is an evidence as well. So there are many ways in which you evidence that the Holy Spirit is infilling you and empowering you for service.
Okay. Thank you. I've been going back and forth with that, and I go to their church, and everyone there speaks in tongues, and it just kind of isolates you because you're like, well, maybe I'm not supposed, you know, maybe I can't get it.
Well, tongues is not for everyone. I mean, it's something that you can demonstrate by simply going to the biblical text. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you might want to write that passage down. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul here says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Well, the answer to that question is no. And Paul goes on to say, eagerly desire the greater gifts. We have different gifts according to the grace given us, and we have to use our gift in proportion to our faith. So not all people have the gift of tongues, and it can also be argued that tongues is not even normative for today. You know, God can certainly give someone the gift of being able to speak in another language, but it's not the norm.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Nicole, grow in grace and knowledge. Keep learning.
I will.
God bless you.
Thank you.
You got it. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Because an increasingly militant, intolerant, and hostile secularism would love to silence the voice of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we ask you to do all you can this month to help us turn up the volume. We are deeply grateful for your partnership at this critical time as we strive to stand courageously for life and truth. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end our financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. Atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also, write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now, once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy, and we will go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Ryan listening in Abilene, Texas. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good. I really quickly wanted to just encourage you. I've been so blessed by just listening to the program. I feel like I've really learned to love the Lord, not just with my heart or with my actions, but really with my mind. And you're definitely one of the leaders in, you know, using your intellect for the Lord, and I just really appreciate it. So I want to say thank you.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much for that encouragement.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I apologize if I sound out of breath. I'm packing my car for a move right now. But anyways, the question, you talk a lot about spiritual disciplines, which I love and really appreciate. I've really struggled in the past with a lot of kind of burnout and anywhere from legalism to striving to burnout to lack of interest. And so I was just going to kind of ask about what you do personally to really build your inner man and grow in the spirit, but at the same time, not letting that become your God, like your schedule or your quiet time or your prayer list to become the thing that you're doing to become your end as opposed to your means. So if you have any kind of tips on that specifically, that'd be great.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've oftentimes said is that our Lord modeled all the things that we talk about when we talk about the spiritual disciplines. For example, he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, but why? Was it perfunctory? Was it legalism? No, because he desired fellowship with his Heavenly Father, and that is the whole issue with respect to spiritual disciplines. It is to embrace things so that our relationship with God is enhanced. And so, in essence, the things of this world go strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. So spiritual disciplines are disciplines that allow us to have a much fuller and more fruitful relationship with the Lord. And quite frankly, they are means by which we can, in fact, live the crucified life. So there are things that we have to put into practice in order to live the crucified life. And we see those things modeled in the Apostle Paul. I mean, after his conversion, one of the things that is so graphic in the biblical text is that he experienced solitude. In other words, he withdrew from the invasive sounds of the world so that he could experience fellowship with God. And out of that experience, he became the great apostle to the Gentiles. That could never have happened had he not experienced these kinds of spiritual disciplines. And what's particularly interesting in the life of the Apostle Paul, to your point, is that he once experienced the spiritual disciplines on the basis of pure legalism. He was a Pharisee. He practiced spiritual disciplines, but it was not in order to develop a full and rich and fragrant relationship with God. No, he was far removed from God. He didn't know God. He was the enemy of God. He persecuted God's people. It was only after he was converted that those same spiritual disciplines were now practiced for an altogether different reason. And that was the reason modeled by Jesus Christ that I referred to earlier, which is he often withdrew to lonely places. Now, not because it was a Pharisaical practice or legalism, but because he desired fellowship with his Heavenly Father.
That's great. Do you have, maybe any practical advice for maybe seasons when it maybe starts to feel, just less desired or less enjoyable, like how to kind of keep your own heart in tune or connected to the Lord so it's not becoming this kind of a, I'm not connected with God, I'm just doing this because I'm a Christian, this is what I'm supposed to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And let me be totally transparent here to you. You know, I have been very, very strong throughout my Christian life in the matter of doctrine. In other words, in the matter of setting the plumb line. But Paul said to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. As a result of the time that I have spent in places where Christians are persecuted, I've seen visibly, tangibly, palpably, people who live the crucified life. And quite frankly, it has stunned me such that this has become an endeavor on my own part to seek to do exactly what you allude to, not practice spiritual disciplines out of necessity, but because I want to develop the ability to live the crucified life. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so I have to humbly confess that I am a work in progress in this very thing myself. And as we speak, I am deeply immersed in trying to learn to implement spiritual disciplines, but for the right motivation, not in legalism, but rather in desire to have fellowship with Christ through living the crucified life out of which everything else flows.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. The disciplines for the spiritual life, rightly understood, are time-tested activities that you consciously, that you partake in a premeditated way, because we want the Spirit to have more and more say and sway over our lives. And this is God's kingdom taking place of the habits of sin that are embedded within us, which is to say, we want the kingdom to shine through us in a practical sense so that we are living exemplars of the kingdom of God on earth, how it will be when Jesus Christ comes and fully establishes his reign. This is something, as I say, deeply immersed in this, and it's something that I just feel passionately consumed with at this point, because again, Paul says doctrine matters, but perhaps life matters even more. I want to go back to the phone lines. Shane next in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Hank. How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. I recently listened to a debate on atheism by the late Greg Bahnsen and an atheist he debated, and I was quite impressed with his approach. And he's a presuppositional apologist, and in the debate, I found it kind of amazing. He used the idea that biblical Christianity is true because of the impossibility of the contrary, and I think he called it the transcendental argument. And he also used and made another interesting point, I think about antithesis, the idea that the unbeliever, even when he's arguing against Christianity, has to use the borrowed capital of Christianity to even argue against it. And I'm wondering, what is your opinion of presuppositional apologetics? Because I was quite impressed with that approach. It's very unique.
Yeah. Well, presuppositionalism is the idea that biblical revelation is the presupposition upon which any coherent system of truth must be built. And just a side note here, it is true that in our culture today, people are living off of the capital of a biblical worldview and oftentimes do not realize that the benefits they now have are directly attributable to a biblical worldview. By the way, in contrast, evidentialism is the idea that the truth of Christianity can be established by appealing to historical evidences, which I believe is absolutely true. But let's look at what's going on here. First of all, we have to recognize that everyone has presuppositions. If you, for example, presuppose philosophical naturalism, then Christianity is going to be false a priori, even prior to examination. So presuppositions play a powerful role in our lives. Another issue I think that's very important in the debate is Christians disagree as to the effects of the fall on the reasoning process itself and the ability to embrace truth. So a presuppositional apologist believes our minds are so affected by the fall that there's virtually no common ground with unbelievers with respect to the truth of the gospel, simply because their point of view is that dead men cannot respond to evidences. And therefore, all presuppositionalists are Calvinists, but not all Calvinists are presuppositionalists. Evidentialists have presuppositions, I think we have to acknowledge, and presuppositionalists use evidence. And I think oftentimes presuppositionalists fail to recognize that they're using evidences in the process of their reasoning prowess itself. We're out of time for this edition of the broadcast, but look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.